Good evening, Lock Haven Baptist Church. Church family, I'm so glad that you have joined me here in the pastor's study. We are grateful for the opportunity that we have to spend a little time together in the middle of the week. I know many of you are still working, trying to stay safe. Many of you are at home. We're all in prayer. And this is a definite time of uncertainty. But we're here together, joining our hearts together, and we're going to spend a little time in the Word of God tonight, looking at Isaiah chapter 41, verses 1 through 14. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to join ourselves together as a church family. Though we are apart, in spirit we are together. We do ask, Lord, that you would give wisdom to our church family, our seniors, our first responder workers, Lord, those that have to go out and be about in the community. May they be the salt and the light that they should be during this time. God, help us as your people to not be complainers or murmurers. This time did not catch you by surprise. We are blessed as your people. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts to those that are in need and help us to be a blessing to those that we come into contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I found a song that the men sang not too long ago, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's called Faithful Men. So listen and enjoy. Was a blessing to my heart when the men sing that together. We need faithful men. We need faithful church members, faithful family members that will love the Lord with all their heart. And it was a blessing to see that sung by our men of our church, and I hope that you enjoyed it there. We're going to go to a time of prayer request. Again, I'm not going to read the entire prayer list that we have put out for the church. I'm going to just read the main categories and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to give a few updates. Brother Jim's mother is still in about the same condition. She's saddened that she is not with the Lord. Her prayer is that she would go home and be with the Lord. She is under hospice care. And so we ask you to keep continue to pray for Brother Jim, Brother David Bedell, as they care for their mother during this time. And as soon as the Lord would usher her home. That would be a blessing to her. Also, Miss Hathaway fell and broke her hip last week. She had surgery, and she is doing well in the hospital. Be in prayer for her. The Foxes are doing well, and also Brother Bill Phillips and Sister Jeanette are doing well as they can be. And so if you have a prayer request, while I'm reading out the list, would you please take time to type it in the comments? That way the church family sees it. When we pray, we'll be praying for that request that you might have. Remember, our church and church family, our country, during this time, our first responders, our law enforcement, the elected court officials that we have elected and put over the things and cares of our country, our military. Pray for our military during this time. Many unspoken requests that we have, and the salvation portion that we're praying for, and I'm sure that there's many others that we could add to the list, but we have here on our church list a list of 9 names that we're praying for, and so let's keep those in mind. And our missionaries. This is a portion of our church that is vital, our missionary program and outreaches, and we need to pray for our missionaries as they're in foreign countries, away from family, going through this same situation that we're in. Miscellaneous, the Bible clubs at Dr. Phillips and the other miscellaneous listed here, the sick, those with cancer. Remember Sunday I mentioned Sister Ellen. Please keep her in prayer. Going through a very difficult time right now. I see that Sister Rhonda has added her nephew Timothy there. So let's pray for Timothy as well. And all of those that are on our prayer list. It is extensive. So I will not spend time to read it all. But if you have any prayer requests, just go ahead and type them into the comment section there. Let them come up. Let the people see them. Those watching, that we can all pray together and ask the Lord to be to handle those as He sees fit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank You that You've allowed us as a church family to intercede on behalf of our community, our church, our state, and our nation, and Lord, ultimately the world. We do ask You, Lord, to work mightily during this time of and situation we find ourselves in as a church family. Lord, as to date, no one in our church has been contracted this virus, and we ask You, God, that You'd keep it as such. Help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Help us, Lord, to be safe and cautious and clean. Lord, we do ask You to please bless the ministries of our church. Lord, help us to continue on with the ministries that You have given us. And we ask You, Lord, to watch over our missionary families. Lord, those around the world that are reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are away from families, that are on lockdown as we are here. And so I pray that You'd protect them, keep them safe, help them, the medical staff that is working around the clock and tirelessly, Lord, to find cure, to find antidotes, Lord, to help those that are sick and to be used of You. We do ask You, Lord, that You would please watch over our church family that's on the prayer list that we have as a church. And we ask You to touch them, heal them, help them, Lord, to look to You during this difficult time and find comfort and healing as You see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget that if you have a prayer request, just go ahead and type it into the comment section. We'll have it there and we'll be able to pray together on it. I think at this time we'll go ahead and listen to another instrumental song. If you know these words, just humming along, "It Is Well." That is a wonderful song that we sing. And so I hope you enjoy listening to that as I get ready to move on with the rest of our service time. I do hope it's well with your soul tonight. We're thankful to know the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. And no matter what we go through during the day, the night, the week, during our lifetime, if we are right with God and we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and we're saved and we're part of God's family, it is well. The time may be difficult, but it's well with my soul because I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, our next online service will be this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I was able to find a Sunday school lesson and put it on last week on the Facebook page. I'm going to look again. Hopefully, I'll be able to find it. It's actually the lesson that the ladies' Sunday school class is going through, and our Spanish Sunday school class is going through the book of Revelation. So as soon as I find that and it's available, I will tag it into the church Facebook page and you'll be able to find that and go to it there. But our next online live service will be this Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. There will be bread available to pick up Friday and Saturday that has been graciously donated to our church for needy families and our church family from Publix. So Friday, somewhere around 11 o'clock Friday, it should be out and ready and available. And then all day Saturday, and you can do come by and pick up that if you need it. Or if you have a family near to you, just come by, pick up what you need, touch what you want, and take what you want, and that way we can continue to practice our social distancing and our help. Just because our church is not meeting does not mean we as a church cannot operate. And so if you see somebody in need, please make sure that you come by, take some of the bread, pick it up for them. Some of our seniors, I do appreciate some of the church members already came up last Friday and Saturday and brought them to other people, and so please, please do that and make sure that you care for others. I see that Sister Vivian said Jason's dad has a health problem. He's in the ER right now, so y'all remember to pray for that. Also, concerning giving, many have already started sending in their tithes by the postal service, mailing them in. Some have dropped them off here at the church and handed them to us. Others have gone to their bank and went through bill pay and signed up, and somehow or another your bank and bill pay will actually send a check through the postal mail electronically to the church. And so if you still have that question to ask about the giving, that is how it's being done right now. And we are progressing through this online age which we live in. I promise you, I would prefer pencil and paper for the rest of my life, but it does not look like that's going to happen. I'm going to play Blessed Assurance right now. It is going to be instrumental as well. And it's just going to prepare our heart. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 1 through 14. And the thought tonight is blessed assurance. And so I want to play blessed assurance, just a cappella here, or instrumental, and just to prepare our hearts. Isaiah 41, verses 1 through 14. Think that was blessed assurance. There it is. Ethan typed that I should ask Echo to play it for me. Well, Facebook sent me a notice and said that I could not use Echo during this operation. So I've asked Sister Lois to play us a few instrumental songs, and then I've gone back into the archives and found some of our songs that we've done as a church. So I could comply with what Facebook was asking us to do. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Filled, praising my Savior all the day long, this is my story, this is my song. Blessed Assurance is a wonderful, wonderful hymn that we sing quite often. Fanny Crosby is the writer of that song. And so I hope it's a blessing and get your heart ready. I'm sorry I started out with Rock of Ages. Maybe we'll play that when we get finished with the message. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 1. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he had fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as the thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, this portion of Scripture, which we're studying tonight, is about 4 or 5 chapters together, and it is written to show forth the greatness of God. Now, we do have a great God, without question, without doubt. We have a great God. But during this time that we're reading about, there was a great problem in the nation of Israel with idolatry. And this portion of Scripture is written so that it can bring conviction to those that were steeped in idolatry, but also to bring encouragement to those that worship the true God of Israel. And so as we read this and we study this, we can almost see God chastising on the one hand and encouraging on the other as you read into it. Now, Isaiah was a prophet of God. Now, he could see and he could look down into the future by the power of God, through the Spirit of God working in him and giving him that foreknowledge, and was able to write down this portion of Scripture. As you read this and is written, it's almost as if Judah is already in captivity. They're not at this time. They had a wicked king, Zedekiah. Now, he was the youngest son of Josias and uncle to Jehoiakim. Now, Jeremiah was persecuted during his reign. He rebelled against Babylon, and he was captured. They blinded him. They carried him off into Babylon captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And Jerusalem was burned to the ground, and the temple was destroyed whenever this captivity does take place. But Isaiah's writing like it's already taken place, like it's already there. He identifies the opposition to those that would worship the true and righteous God. If you would, look there in verse 11. "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and that shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee, shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught." The opposition there is identified as those that would incense against you. You know, when you think about an incense and you light that incense, it begins to glow, and it glows in a warm. But every now and then, it will blaze up. It will shoot a spark up. And this is how the enemy of God is. It's always there, glowing there in the darkness. And then it'll just flare up out of nowhere. And then there's those that strive, or they chide with us, or they bring a contention against what we are trying to do for the Lord. In Jude, it says that we should contend for the faith there. He mentions here those that would contend or war against us. Surely the devil is at war with God, but there are those that are influenced by Satan, no doubt, just like they were in the day of Israel here, with so much idolatry going on. You know, God's a jealous God. God is very jealous, and he lets it be known that he is God. He says here in verse number 1, if you'll notice there, he says, "Keep silence before me, O islands." When it talks about islands here, as I'm reading and studying through the commentaries and the books, an island is something that is separated by water, what we know. Well, this is actually talking about nations, and he's bringing all the nations together. And he's saying to the nation, he said, "Listen, be silent. Listen to me." He says, "Let us come near together to judgment," as we read on through verse number 1. And so the opposition is there, and we face opposition today. I'm not just talking about the nation of Israel and the opposition that they had and those that would worship idolatry then. We have folks here that tend to lend themselves in our day and age to idolatry. They seek out other things, and they place things of human makeup or man-made things ahead of God and before God. And as soon as we do that, it does not matter what it is. If it's a job, if it's a hobby, if it's clothing, if it's a car, it does not matter. Anything that steps in front and takes the place of God, then that thing becomes an idol to us. And we need to be very careful that we are not caught up with idolatry, because listen, God's a consuming God. He's jealous, and he's not going to allow his children to walk down this road of idolatry without dealing with them. And so we as God's people need to be careful, just like the nation of Israel was God's people, as we read here in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 1 through 14. All of these chapters are dealing with the greatness of God. God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. And if he was jealous then, and he was bringing conviction into the hearts and lives of the nation of Israel, and encouraging those that would worship properly. You remember what he said to Elijah. He said, "Elijah, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee." So there are people, you might be thinking, I'm all along worshiping God. Listen, you and God are the majority. If you are the only one, you are the majority with God. God will encourage you. He will strengthen you. He will help you get through this difficult time. But opposition, dear friend, is here in front of us in our daily walk. You know, as we try to be the light and the salt of this world, people are going to oppose us. We have to remember that when we were lost, when we were without Christ, we were enemies of the cross. We were alienated from God, and we opposed ourselves. We opposed the things of God. So we have to be very careful that we don't allow circumstances to push us to idolatry. We are in a time of uncertainty right now. The current events that we face, we have to be very careful that we do not allow this time to rob us of our time with God. We have to be very careful. We have to guard it. Listen, the wiles of the devil are ever so before us. The fiery darts, the pressure, you know, the heavy labor, the demanding work that is before us of keeping mentally fresh, mentally mentally calm. With all this time we're spending together, you know, I know we're supposed to be social distancing, but now families are spending so much more time together than normal. You got parents that have never homeschooled before in their life trying to homeschool right now. And it's no wonder that the stress level and the anxiety inside the home could not rise up to boiling point level. And so we have to be very careful that we don't allow this to bring personal hostility and bring opposition within the family unit during this time. Don't allow it to push you away from God. Allow this here difficult situation that we find ourselves in to draw us closer to God. Now, the problem the nation of Israel had was idolatry, real idolatry, gods made by hands. And it even mentions it here, that verse 7, so the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with a hammer, him that smoothed the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. And he encouraged them. And God says, listen, I'm going to encourage you. He said to the nation of Israel there in verse number 8, he said, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. I wonder if it can be said about us tonight during this problem that we face, that we're a friend of God, that we're not being lent to hostility, to the circumstances of life driving us into a situation of discounting our time with God and not spending the time that we should with God. Listen, I know that sometimes we say, well, I'm at church Sunday school, I'm at Sunday morning service, I'm at Sunday night, I'm at Wednesday night. Well, we're not at that point. We can't be there together like that, like we were. But we can be with God. We can still guard those times and those moments that we have with God, and we make sure that we are spending time with Him and not making the problem that we face worse. God is God in the valley or on the mountaintop. And so we have to be very careful. And look at verse number 10. Verse 10, God says to those that would worship properly, those He was encouraging to worship properly, He said, listen, you that are in idolatry, you be quiet, you be silent, you listen, come to me, because we're going to have some judgment, and judgment must first begin at the house of God. And then He said, you that are doing right, you that are worshiping right, He says, listen, verse 10, fear thou not. What a simple statement. Do not be afraid. Don't allow dread to take over your heart and your lives. This is a very complete commandment. It doesn't say, fear thou not, except when there's a virus in the land. Fear thou not, except when there's financial difficulty in your home. Fear thou not when there is sickness that is like Brother Jim is facing with the elderly, his mother about to pass off into eternity and spend time with the Lord. Sure, Brother Jim's heart aches, and he's praying that God's will be done. Fear thou not. This is a very complete commandment. Listen, we're not to fear people. We're not to fear things. We're not to fear circumstances that are here. Now listen, it's a scary time that we live in. I'm not going to tell you it's not. But when we turn to God and we look to God and we draw nigh to God, not only does he say, fear thou not. Read on, it says, therefore I am with thee. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee in Matthew. He said, but be not dismayed. Now this word comes from, it means from looking around with amazement. You know, don't allow the circumstances to catch our eye and run us off. We're to set our affections on things above there. And so God says to those that are looking around at those that are in idolatry in the nation of Israel and those that are trying to worship and trying to do right, he said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave. Don't be dismayed. He said, for I am thy God. Now, this here dismayed is, it's stronger than fear. That's why it says it together. Fear thou not, for I am thy God. Be thou not dismayed. He says, because sometimes we get beyond fear. Fear overwhelms us. We get to the point of being dismayed. And God says, don't be dismayed, because I am your God. I will be with thee. He says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, let's pause for a moment. All this that's going on didn't catch God by surprise. All of this going on did not cause God to love us more. Didn't cause God to love us less. It didn't weaken the hand of God. It should not overwhelm us. We need to stay calm, look to God, understand that our faith is our victory, and we need to seek the face of God because he is with us. Don't even let the problems you face bring confusion into your life. I found this in my life. When I have fear, if I'm not careful and I make decisions when I'm fearful, or when I'm confused, or when I'm dismayed, those are always, have always, in my life personally, have always been contrary to the will of God for my life. Always. So we need to pause, be still, realize that God is on his throne, and God is in control of all this. Look at the promise that he gave the nation of Israel. He says, in verse 13, he says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. God doesn't give us a prohibition of do not fear. Do not fear without a complete promise. So don't be afraid, because, and this is why we're not to be afraid, because God's going to take us by the right hand, and he's going to walk with us, and he's going to help us through not only this situation. This is going to come to pass. This too shall have an end. Just like the storms of the night and the rains and the cloud, the sun is going to shine again. And there's going to be other storms. There's going to be other controversies. There's going to be other problems that we as God's people face. When we come through the other side of this, listen, when we get to through the back side of this and we're looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. I'm going to tell you this. The God that walked us into the midst of this 3 weeks ago is going to walk us through it. And the God that walks us through it is going to be with us. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. He said, I am with thee. Oh, the presence of God. Oh, I hope you enjoy the presence of God. just feeling, just hearing that still, small voice of God. His provision is great. His provision is not limited. He said, I'll help thee. He surrounds us with aid. Look what it says back up here in verse 6. They helped everyone his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. We have seen brothers and sisters in Christ texting, Facebooking, calling, spending time with them, sending letters and cards and giving gifts anonymously to those that are in need. Why? Because we have a God in heaven that loves us. He's with us, and He's given us the help that we need. He will strengthen us. That means He'll establish us. He'll help us. He helps us, surround us with aid. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. That is still true today. All you folks out there hoarding toilet paper, Brother Ray told me about a restaurant that if you come bought a meal to go with them, they'd give you a roll of toilet paper to go. They're trying to get you in. Listen, be an aid, be a help. He said, I'll uphold thee. That means He will maintain us and He will stay with us. He is our rock and our refuge. Our rock and our refuge, our time of need. Look at what God says about Abraham in verse number 8. Be thou, O Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen. What does the Bible say in John? I have chosen thee. You have not chosen me. What does it say? It says, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Well, I tell you, what a blessing it is to have friends. What a blessing it is to be able to call and talk and to text and to Facebook and to Snap or whatever way of communication you have there. But I'm going to tell you, dear friend, there's no greater friend than God. No greater friend than our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down His life that you and I might have eternal life. We need to be very careful that we continue to stand on the promises of God. The promises that were here before all this happened are still valid right here in the midst of it. I always think about the three Hebrew children who in the midst of that fire, there was the Son of Man also with them during this difficult time that they faced. There, you are God's special people. You're special to God. He loves you. You're peculiar people. If you're a child of God, you are a peculiar person. You're unique in your own self. And you don't have to be a cookie cutter. God has created you in His image and in His likeness. And so the promises of God are great, and they're strong, and they're true, and they're absolute, and they're yea, and they're amen. He's got all power. All power. Look what it says in verse 13 of Isaiah chapter number 41. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, so whatever your name is, I know He's talking to the nation of Israel in context. I understand that. But this word is for us also. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. And when I read this, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto Lane, that's you, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I will help thee. You know, this here prophecy goes on to talk about a king in Isaiah 45. Isaiah prophesied about a king, Cyrus, who was, if I got my numbers correct, 700 years down the road to come. And Isaiah, as he prophesied about this king, he gave a commandment that this king would send back and make a proclamation that go back and build Jerusalem, build the temple. Listen, God is capable. He wants to encourage you if you're worshiping and standing true to Him. He also wants to convict you if you've allowed things to take the place of God in your life. God is great. What blessed assurance we have. There is a problem. Nation of Israel had a problem. It was idolatry. They had a great problem. And God said that there should be no other gods before me. Listen, we have a problem. Maybe our problem is not idolatry. Well, we have a problem that we're facing now with this COVID-19. And we've got a promise of God. God said in verse 10, fear not to the nation of Israel. God says that to you and I. Fear not. He's given us a promise that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always with you until the end of the world. Amen. And just like we have it here in verse number 14, as we finish out, fear not thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee. He calls Jacob a worm. He says to the nation of Israel, he said, listen, Jacob, you worm, I will help thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Aren't you thankful that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me? He died for you. And yet, while I am a child of God, there's been times that I have ran from God. I have chose other things before God. And God says here, the Redeemer, he recognized that they are a worm. He recognized that we're sinners. He says, I'm faithful, I'm just to forgive you. In the face of all these things we face, there's few of which could be compared to the captivity and intensity of the nation of Israel here. But they were given blessed assurance. Verses 10 through 14 have been used throughout ages to bless the people of God. Have been used to bless them mightily. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope you enjoy it. We're going to finish out with the Rock of Ages, an instrumental song played here, knowing that we have a God in heaven that desires to help us with the problems we have. He's given us a commandment, fear not. He's followed that up with a promise. You don't fear, I'm with you. And that's why we have to be very careful that we are looking to God during this time that we're in. Found faithful during this opportunity that God's given us, showing forth the love of God to a nation that is in turmoil, a nation that is in hysteria. We have a hope, and our faith and our hope is our anchor, and that anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless us tonight as we rest our heads and our minds and our hearts. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, we'll meet again and we will have a time of praise, worship, Word of God, feast on the Word of God. But during this week, find yourself alone with God, just you and Him, and say, God, I need you. You've got my attention. This here thing that's going on has stopped everything. Lord, you've got my attention. What do you want from me? Spend time with God. You have a blessed evening. I love you as your pastor, and thank you for being with me. God bless.